The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Thursday, June 25th. What to know about a new high point in daily COVID cases and how a new travel advisory is trying to slow the spread of the virus. We're also talking about the president sending high-powered protection to certain statues and the historic change coming to this year's DNC. Plus, a new warning about one particular brand of bottled water. And yes, if you've heard them, there has been a big boom in fireworks sales. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview with what to know if you plan to travel anytime soon. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The new coronavirus is breaking records as the number of cases surges in the southern and western parts of the U.S. More new infections were confirmed yesterday than any other day of the pandemic. The previous record was set back in April, but that time it was in states in the Northeast leading the way. Now, the Northeast seems to have the outbreak under control. Instead, the most COVID-19 cases are diagnosed in Texas, Florida, and California. Each of those three states reported more than 5,000 new cases just yesterday. And of course, they're just a few of the states we've been talking about recently with concerning numbers. So now the Northeast is taking steps to keep visitors from those states out of theirs. As of midnight this morning, governors of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are requiring travelers from eight states to self-quarantine for 2 weeks if they visit, meaning anyone who goes to this tri-state area from Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Utah, and Texas must follow these new rules to self-isolate for 14 full days or face fines. And by the way, it was pretty much the opposite back in March, you might remember. Texas and Florida had quarantine requirements for travelers coming from parts of the Northeast. So things have flipped in just a few months. It's now Texas, where hospitalizations have doubled and new cases tripled in 2 weeks. And California's hospitalizations and ICU rates are at all-time highs, with Los Angeles leading the way. In fact, LA County has more coronavirus infections than any other county in the country right now. Health experts have said young people are playing a large part in this, with people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s driving these surges. But for all the fear and uncertainty coming out of the South and West, the Trump administration is still urging calm. Vice President Pence told Republican senators to focus on encouraging signs. Senators told the Washington Post, Pence pointed out ways the country is better equipped to handle the pandemic right now compared to the spring, like more testing. And while he acknowledged the rate of infections is rising, he pointed out the death rate is not, at least not yet. Public health officials say that could still change with time, so it's important for people to keep their guards up. U.S. Marshals and the National Guard are now assigned to protect controversial monuments. Remember, several cities and states have decided to remove some statues in recent weeks, especially those of Confederate soldiers. Leaders have deemed them symbols of American racism. But elsewhere, some protesters have grown frustrated that their leaders have not taken the same action. So hundreds of people have tried dismantling the statues themselves. And President Trump is not happy about it. He promised to punish people who vandalize or destroy public property like those statues. And now local authorities will reportedly get some help enforcing these rules. The Washington Post says U.S. Marshals got an email this week telling them to help protect monuments around the country. Marshals are setting up a joint operations center in Virginia, and National Guard troops were deployed to both Wisconsin and Washington, D.C. Protesters feel the statues are glorifying the era of slavery, but President Trump says it's important to preserve history, both the good and the bad. In fact, he's even decided to kick off the 4th of July weekend by headlining a fireworks show at Mount Rushmore in South Dakota. Protests are already being planned. Another group of protesters getting some national attention is now starting to clear out. We're talking about the so-called CHOP area in Seattle, Washington. Remember, CHOP is short for Capitol Hill Organized Protest. Demonstrators took over a few city blocks more than 2 weeks ago to demand racial equality and defunding the police. For a while, the mayor was letting it happen, and things stayed pretty peaceful. But then there was a deadly shooting over the weekend. So police officers returned to the precinct they had abandoned earlier. And this week, at least one organizer told the group to leave the area and move on to virtual activism. But not everyone is ready to let shop go. Dozens of people are still lined up on the sidewalks and in a nearby park. They told local media they have no plans to leave until their demands are met. To be continued. When it comes to national police reform, U.S. lawmakers still can't come to a compromise. Senate Republicans put a measure up for a vote yesterday, but it failed. Democrats blocked it. The bill would have encouraged police departments to ban chokeholds, and it would have required officers to report use of force incidents for a national database. But Democrats want more. Instead of encouraging change, they want to outright ban chokeholds and no-knock warrants. And they want to make it easier for people to sue police officers and departments for misconduct. But Republicans aren't willing to budge on that last one. Meanwhile, Democrats in the House plan to vote on and pass a different bill this week. The word is it likely won't get through the Senate. So what comes next? Leaders of both parties are reportedly interested in meeting to negotiate, so stay tuned. There's a new plan in place for the Democratic National Convention this summer. It's going virtual for the first time ever. As planned, former Vice President Joe Biden will accept the presidential nomination at the DNC in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in August. But it won't be in front of a crowded arena like usual. Delegates are being told to stay home to avoid spreading the new coronavirus. They'll just have to nominate Biden and his yet-to-be-named running mate online. This is a historic change. Not even during the Civil War or World War II did a major party abandon their in-person convention. That said, Republicans are still planning to move ahead as usual. In fact, you might remember they already changed locations when North Carolina's governor would not promise to allow a packed arena. So it'll now happen in Jacksonville, Florida instead. The DNC comes first, starting August 17th. The RNC is 1 week later, starting August 24th. All right, we have much more news ahead, but first, thanks to our sponsor this week, Skillshare. This online learning community is offering our listeners 2 months of free premium membership. So it's a great time to explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity. All with classes from Skillshare. The classes are designed for real life and all the circumstances that come with it. I recently bookmarked the class Unlocking Your Potential, 5 Exercises to Build Creative Confidence. And I've also used Skillshare for refreshers on business and leadership strategies. But find what's right for you. There are all kinds of classes, including drawing, writing, and journaling, which can help you manage stress and break up your daily routine. So explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/newsworthy. And remember, when you go to Skillshare.com/newsworthy, you can get 2 free months of premium membership. Again, Skillshare.com/newsworthy to claim your 2 free months of premium membership. Now, back to the news. Amazon is taking action to make sure the stuff you buy online is actually what you think it is. The online retailer is launching a so-called counterfeit crimes unit that will search for bad listings and their sellers. Amazon hopes this will make it easier to bring charges against scammers. The new unit is made up of former prosecutors, investigators, and data analysts, and they'll work with law enforcement if needed. TBD if this fully solves the problem, though. Remember, Amazon has battled counterfeit products for a while now. In fact, last year alone, Amazon blocked more than 6 billion suspected bad listings for its site. But fake items are still out there, so Amazon is taking it a step further with this new crimes unit. Heads up, Consumer Reports says it found high levels of arsenic in a certain brand of bottled water. The brand is Starkey Spring Water, bottled by and sold in the Amazon-owned Whole Foods. The Consumer Reports testing showed the water has, on average, 3 times as much arsenic as other bottled water brands, and the level is just barely below the legal limit. The report says drinking 1 bottle of Starkey Spring Water will be fine. But over time, consuming even small amounts of arsenic regularly can raise the risk of heart disease and cancer, and even lower IQ scores in children. Arsenic naturally occurs in nature and is often found in water, but filtered out. Some states have super strict rules about it in their tap water. So Consumer Reports says if the Starkey Spring water were coming out of the tap in certain states, it would be illegal. But Whole Foods says the water is fine since it's within federal standards. It says it has regular testing to ensure it does not go beyond the threshold. Amateur fireworks are lighting up the night sky in cities across the country well before the 4th of July. For example, in New York, some people say they're set off nightly, and cities like LA, San Francisco, and Boston are experiencing a huge increase in noise complaints. Suppliers have reason to celebrate the new trend, though. Business Insider reports some retailers have seen fireworks sales jump 400%. But why fireworks suddenly got popular is a bit of a mystery. Some think people are just bored. But per usual, conspiracy theories are starting to emerge, claiming it's all part of a government plot. Either way, some law enforcement agencies have had to dedicate officers to deal with the extra calls. NASA is naming its headquarters after its first Black female engineer, Mary W. Jackson. And the main building there in Washington, D.C. is on Hidden Figures Way. Mary W. Jackson was one of the three Black female NASA employees who helped inspire the story behind the book and movie Hidden Figures. They all helped launch American astronauts into space for the first time. Jackson specifically worked at NASA for nearly two decades. She pushed for the space agency to hire more women scientists, mathematicians, and engineers. She died in 2005, and though it was after her death, she was awarded the Congressional Gold Medal last year. That's it for the main 10 minutes of news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we're talking about travel and how it's been impacted by this pandemic. We'll discuss new travel trends, the major restrictions, and a few key things to consider if and when you are planning a trip. Our guest is Ernest White II. He's a storyteller and explorer who has traveled all the way around the globe six times. He's the producer and host of the travel docuseries Fly Brother with Ernest White II, currently airing on public television stations around the country. Although season two of the series did have to pause production because of the pandemic. So before we dive in, this interview is brought to you by Blinkist. With our ever-changing routines, there's never been a better time to learn something new. And Blinkist is a unique and powerful app to quickly learn the key takeaways from thousands of nonfiction bestsellers in 27 different categories. So check it out and start your free 7-day trial at Blinkist.com/news. All right, here's our conversation about travel in today's world. Hi, Ernest. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Hi, Erica. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
How is the pandemic impacting how and where people are choosing to travel?
Even just thinking about how we would move into a season two in this new world that we're living in, or me as a personal traveler myself, I mean, it's the considerations that I have. I love cities. I love crowded spaces. I love dancing and going to restaurants and just that kind of urbane life that you get when you're around other people. And we won't have that for a little while, at least. It's going to take a while for people to feel safe enough. And I don't mean necessarily physically safe, but just kind of the anxiety level is so high. You know, no one knows anything. And so there will be more road trips. So folks will be going out into the countryside. They may visit national parks and state parks a bit more, obviously observing the safety rules of social distancing. But I do believe that people will travel more locally. You know, they'll be aware of their physical environment and how they engage with the world a bit more.
So if we do decide that for whatever reason, we do need to fly, what is that experience like right now? Can you walk us through some of the biggest changes that airlines have put in place?
There is, on one hand, an attention to the cleanliness aspect. However, there's also just, again, heightened stress, you know, and anxiety because no one wants to breathe wrong or cough wrong or be coughed on. And so you've got people that really who have to travel, it's stressful. And so keep that in mind if you go out there, if you venture out, that you'll need to be prepared. You'll need to have your masks. All of the U.S. airlines are requiring masks to be worn except when you're drinking water on the plane. So you'll have to have your own personal equipment. It's better to bring your own food. And certainly when you are traveling internationally, even if you're able to get out to and into a country because of or in spite of border restrictions, know that there's extra paperwork that you have to fill out. There are releases and forms and commitments to quarantine yourself. And you may have to go to certain health offices depending on where you go. And so the security procedures have also been ramped up a bit. So it's not that same kind of breezing through TSA pre-check that you may have experienced in the past.
What is going through your mind about it's going to give you the green light to say, okay, I can get back in the air?
Right now, what would give me the green light is for countries that I'd like to visit, possibly in Europe and Africa and other continents, would be open to visitors from the United States. Right now, some of those countries are just opening up this week or this past week to visitors and tourists from other parts of Europe and not even all of the European countries.
It sounds like if you're going to travel anywhere right now, it's going to take a lot of extra planning and research. So what is your advice for people trying to plan a trip right now?
I think it just depends on the amount of risk you're willing to stomach. Certainly some I always say buy travel insurance anyway, because you never know what kind of situation is going to happen. That you do need to make sure you read the fine print, because there are plans that will not cover changes due to the pandemic because it's already in effect. And so their logic is, you know the risks and you're still taking them anyway, which means that that's, to them, that's not insurable. However, there are some plans that you can research that would have general coverage, including epidemic or pandemic. So look for that language in the fine print. Also, I would say just be flexible. Recognize that there has never been certainty in life, you know, surely, but also in aviation. You know, there's always been the possibility of weather-related delays or a mechanical issue. You know, there's never going to be certainty when you plan anything. So as long as you keep that in mind and are flexible and just recognize that when it's the right time, you'll be able to get out and go on your vacation. You'll be able to get out and go see your family members and whatever you'd like to be doing. It will happen. Patience, flexibility, and get travel insurance.
I think for domestic flights, some airlines are at least being more flexible about refunds or getting credit if you do have to cancel or change your mind. Can you tell us anything on that?
The policies are much more lenient nowadays than they once were with regard to changes and even cancellations for airline tickets. And that's both domestic and international. Some airlines are promising to bring you back home in the event that there is another second wave of the virus. And so there are ways and policies that each airline is instituting that will make life a little bit easier for the passengers. But again, it requires you to do your research on the front end. And things change so quickly. Every week, there's a change in policy. There's a change in the understanding of our health concerns and even, you know, societal issues. And there's, we're just living in a time of great transformation. And that just means, again, living with great flexibility.
Curious your thoughts. What Airbnb type houses or brand name hotels win the game? What will people feel safer in?
I think it depends on what your threshold of cleanliness is. And this is not to say that one is cleaner than the other, but hotels have a cleaning staff that is on call, that's there at the property, and that will consistently come through and clean the common areas of a hotel. I know this from personal experience because I did have to stay in a hotel briefly for business during the pandemic. And just the whole place was disinfected constantly. And they had protocols in place with regard to cleaning the rooms regularly, but the cleaning staff would not go in if you were around. You had to sign for them to even go into the room to clean it. And so that level of heightened protocols when it comes to cleanliness at a hotel, I think, may help people rest a little bit more easily than with an Airbnb, which would require generally an outside cleaning service.
So do you think the travel and tourism industry will be able to recover from this?
I do believe travel and tourism will recover. I don't necessarily think it's going to be as it was. We were in an era of peak travel. Travel had never been more accessible. It had never been more inexpensive. And I think now, you know, with the changes in people's employment situation and the economy, with the way things are going, where people who had been working in travel before will have had to figure out new forms of employment, there will be businesses that will have ceased to exist by the time we kind of come out of this. And so it will be smaller. Again, people will have to travel with greater intention. They will probably stay closer to home and often will probably be traveling by RV and vehicle and less public forms of transportation. And so all of this will mean a shift in the way people travel, but it doesn't mean that travel is down and out. Not at all. People need to travel to each other. Humans need to travel to each other. We have that desire in us to connect with each other.
And be sure to go on a trip virtually with his travel docuseries, Fly Brother with Ernest White II. It's airing on public television stations in the U.S. now and will also be on Create TV starting in August. You can also find links to more information in today's show notes at thenewsworthy.com/show notes. Thank you so much for listening. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. We'll be back tomorrow with your news roundup for Friday and the weekend. Until then, have a great day.